Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 27 of the Push My Buttons Games podcast. We had some technical difficulties when recording on Friday, so we're bringing this fresh to you the following week. But we've got some really good news for you. We've got some info on EA. We've got some info on the Pokemon stream, as well as BlizzCon and PlayStation. What did they call it? State of Play. That's the word. But we got all that going for you. I am one of your hosts, Luke, and today I'm joined with
Spectacular Panda Pat. This one. I'm the panda.
As well as
Captain Platinum's here.
Dungeon Master Mike was unable to make our rescheduled recording, but that's okay. We'll have him back Friday, hopefully, for when we record our next episode. So, we're not going to do the games that we are playing because of the amount of news that we have. So, we are just going to jump into the news, and I will start. EA has announced that it has canceled all Anthem production for BioWare to focus on Dragon Age and Mass Effect. The BioWare and publisher EA have given up on Anthem. The planned overhaul of the 2019 game, referred to as Anthem Next or Anthem 2.0, is coming to an end. BioWare is said in an update on the status of Anthem, the studio will continue to run the current live service for Anthem. This is a quote from the executive producer, Christian Daly, from BioWare blog. He said, in the spirit of transparency and closure, we wanted to share that we've made the difficult decision to stop our new development work on Anthem. He said, we will, however, continue to keep the Anthem service live running as it exists today. Daly noted that the COVID-19 pandemic and work-from-home orders had an impact on our productivity. He also said, I know this will be disappointing to the community of Anthem, players who have been excited to see the improvements we've been working on. It is also disappointing for the team who were doing brilliant work, and for me personally, Anthem is what brought me to BioWare, and the last 2 years have been some of the most challenging and rewarding experiences of my career. Game development is hard. Decisions like these are not easy. Moving forward, we need to laser focus on our efforts, as well as strengthen the next Dragon Age, Mass Effect titles, while continuing to provide quality updates to Star Wars The Old Republic. Captain Platinum, what are your thoughts?
I've never really played this game, or I've heard of it, never played it. I actually haven't played Dragon Age or Mass Effect titles either, but I know the Mass Effect trilogy is remakes coming out. I've been looking forward to playing those. But basically, with everything going on in the last year, I mean, I think we're going to see some projects pushed out, right? We see that everywhere going on because of all the COVID. Kind of sucks right. That Anthem is getting pushed to the side, though. I would have hoped that, you know, they would put a little bit more time into it, because I don't think the game's that old.
But yeah, it's not, I believe, 2 years ago, maybe? Or 2019, yeah, 2019. So 2 years ago.
So, yeah, just...
What about you, Panda Pat?
I haven't played any of these games. Well, I played Mass Effect, and...
I'm surprised you are not a Dragon Age player.
I don't know. I think I would love it, but I just never got around to it. It's kind of like Skyrim. I never really got around to it. Too busy playing Pokemon.
So for me, BioWare was always the Star Wars company for me. Like Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2, like those were my games. I've been told that Mass Effect is great. I've tried to play through the first ones a few times. Never really got into it too much. Never really got into the story. But I do like the, obviously, character creation and stuff is really big for me. But So we're going to get more Mass Effect, so I'm good to jump into those. Dragon Age, I played Inquisition, is really when I jumped into that, and I really enjoyed that. But the biggest thing here that I am really excited for is that they're going to be focusing on quality updates to Star Wars The Old Republic, which is their online MMO that I have been playing since launch. I remember getting hyped for this game way, way, way before it even came out. They did I think it was like 2007, they showed the trailer for it, and they kept saying it's coming next summer, and then it didn't come out till 2011, 2012. Like, it was one of those games that just had so much hype behind it, so I have been on that game since then. It's killing me that my computer situation right now will not let me log in and do the stuff that I want to do, but it is what it is. So with that being said, we had on Thursday, we had the Pokemon 25th anniversary stream, and we had some really cool announcements from this one. We have the new Pokemon Snap game that had been announced before, but they actually kind of jumped in to do a little bit of the details on what was happening. So this game takes place in the new Lentil region. I tried to spell it in our notes the best way that I could by sounding it out, but it looks really cool. You ride around in like a little hover cart thing called the Neo One. You've got all these different biomes. You got the jungle, the desert. You can go underwater. You have some companions, Professor Mir, Rita, and Phil. There's a night mode that you can, like, so you're out in the jungle and you're looking around and it's like seeing Pokemon at night when they're sleeping, kind of in their natural habitat thing. They also have a thing called Lumina Orbs that make the Pokemon glow and it changes their attack color. So they showed, I believe it was a Flareon or someone, a fire type Pokemon doing an attack and it was like a blue glow. They do have, you can edit the photos, you can share them online. They're going to have competitions like they normally do, with the community to try and give away stuff. And, and so the game launches on April 30th of this year. Jamie, have you ever played a Pokemon Snap game?
I played the original and I got everything in it, man. It was a decent game. I felt it was like pretty short. I don't know if I would pick this up if it's a full $60. It was a fun, kind of relaxing Pokemon game on the N64. So I remember doing it. Is this one going to be the same type of thing where it's like the rail car? I think we did say rail. You ride in a hover car thing, but is it kind of like Correct. The rail style? Like you're.
Well, it looks like you can take it anywhere. Like it looks, from what I've seen, what they show, it looks mildly open world, so you can move the cart around places, like you dunk in the water. I'm not sure if you're stuck on a rail or if the rail takes you under the water and flies you wherever, but it looks, from the way that they're doing it, because I know what you're talking about with the first one, how it was very
it was very linear and it was very rail lined, like you were like in a shooter game and it just took you through the whole stage and you had to do certain things to get certain Pokemon to appear, if I remember right.
Correct.
You would see some, but if you did the special thing, you could get, and I think it told you that you were missing one in an area or something like that. So
I don't think I ever, sorry, go ahead.
I lost my train of thought.
Sorry. I don't think I ever really, like, I started playing the most recent Snap game, but I didn't really get into it. It wasn't, I don't know. I just, it wasn't it for me.
Did they make another?
I don't know. Did they do one with, there was one that was on the 3DS, I thought. I don't know if it was a new game or if it was like just a side quest.
I could only think of the N64 one. I thought that was the only one that they did.
There was some sort of side quest part of it that you did where you go around taking pictures. And I think it was part of, maybe it was part of Sun and Moon that they did.
Yeah, because as I'm looking up, it looks like the only one, the actual full Snap one, was on 64.
And I never played that
Which...
one.
It also said they re-released Pokemon Snap in 2007 on Wii.
Okay.
Oh, weird.
What they need to do is bring back Colosseum, man. That's what I remember.
Oh, yes. Please, that would be awesome.
Is that the one where you could hook up like your account and like battle with your Pokemon?
I think you might have had to have the game pack thing for your for your controller. You can put your Game Boy game in that, in the N64 Game Boy card pack thing.
Right.
And then it would bring it in, and then your guys battled on the N64 in 3D. Your Pokemons battled it out in the Coliseum. In Stadium. They did two of them, right? They did a
Stadium. That's the one I was thinking of. Stadium is what I... And I know they just did a new Stadium game for the Switch. I know that.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. Sorry, let me pull it up. Because we have the power of the internet.
The internet!
Yes, Pokemon, it's Pokken Tournament DX.
Oh, that's a little different. That's like the fighter game.
Is that the same one that they did for Wii U?
Yep. Yeah, it's just
and
updated.
They did it for Switch?
Yes.
I'm so happy all of a sudden.
I thought you knew that.
I was always going to get one for Wii U, but I had to get a Wii and a Wii U first. I did not know they made it for Switch. Yay! Now I can finally play that game. I have weird memories with that game. I only played it at Luke's house. I thought he owned it. He did not.
Oh, man. We also had these are some news that's now passed. But if you jumped on Pokemon Day, they had some events going from the 26th to the 28th of February. In Sword and Shield, there were special Gigantamax raid battles featuring Gigantamax Pikachu Pokemon. And if you haven't seen the Gigantamax Pikachu, it's literally the giant fat Pikachu from the original Pokemon games, the way they rendered him on Game Boy, mm-hmm. where he's just a little chonk.
We love him.
He has no neck. but he looks like that, and he's got a giant tail of electricity, and it's awesome.
My cat's very similar to that with that small head. He's like a loaf of bread.
And then on Pokemon Cafe Mix, you could receive 28,000 golden acorns for logging in. And for Pokemon Go, there was the Kanto theme celebration that they actually started a little bit before. It was like the week before, and then it wrapped up on, I believe, Sunday. And that was really cool. They had like a Pallet Town hour where it was only the starter Pokemon from the first game everywhere. So I was loving that. There's Bulbasaurs everywhere.
Bulbasaurs!
So awesome. But the big announcement that they had, it was a relatively short stream. It was about 20 minutes, I believe, 20 to 30 minutes. So it wasn't huge. But they did drop these at the end. They dropped that there's going to be Pokemon Brilliant Diamond / Shining Pearl, which are remakes of the DS game. Is it Sinnoh region?
Sinnoh region.
And that is coming out later this year. Pat, you have feelings about this.
I just barely watched the trailer, and I'm so happy because... because it's basically the same game. They haven't changed it a whole bunch, which they've done well with all of the remakes. They haven't changed them a whole bunch, and I like that. Until they did Let's Go, which is completely different. But I've liked all the remakes, and I think Diamond and Pearl were the last ones that I really put forth that effort and beat
the game.
I thought
you did with Sun and Moon.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like in order, and then I kind of stopped. And then that was it for a while.
Right.
Until Sun and Moon when I got the new system. No, because that wasn't on the new system.
And then you've been playing Sword and Shield, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I've played a little bit of Let's Go now, too. Hmm. Let's Go and Sword and Shield, which I played more of Let's Go than Sword and Shield.
Because it's the first game?
Because it was the one
and you know
I
where
own.
To go?
I got a Switch for the first time, like 2 months ago.
Jamie, what are your feelings on this?
I need to play Sword and Shield, man. So,
Did you play Diamond or Pearl?
I played Diamond. I want to say I pulled out all my games when we were talking about this on Friday. I think I have Diamond. I started it, but I did not finish it. So I'm excited for a remake on it.
I was going to ask you if you were going to. Sell me any of your games to complete my collection. It's pretty weird like that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm excited for remakes, man. I'm just hopefully I have time to play them. That's the hard part.
Right, right. Well, it's going to get more difficult if you're sticking with Pokemon because they actually announced the next brand new Pokemon game is called Pokemon Legends Arceus, I believe.
Arceus.
It's coming early 2022, and this one I'm very excited about because it's set in like older times. Like it's set in the past. And like honestly, the avatars or what you play as, they kind of give me a Link from Breath of the Wild vibe, like with a lot of the tunics and the leather wrapped shoes and stuff like that. And it almost seems pre-electricity, right? But my question is, how the hell does the Pokeball work?
Mm, yeah. You see them
like they've got everything's run on fire, and
maybe they're steam powered Pokeballs.
It is steam powered. I think it said there's steam that comes out of them.
That's awesome.
They're wood. They're made of
cute
wood too.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So they only announced the one, right? Usually they come in pairs.
Yes. Yes. This was just the one. They announced the starters. I'll let Pat pronounce the names on these.
Rowlet, Cyndaquil, and Oshawa. Are the starters,
and those
that
are
they
from
chose
different
generations
yeah, right? Because they said that they were the starters because like people had brought these Pokemon from their regions and they kind of just took over there.
Yeah. did they name a town that it's in? They named that.
No,
yet?
They showed the town, but they did say it's in the Sinnoh region.
Okay.
Right. I'm saying that right? Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like there should be an A at the end.
I always pronounce yeah it with a SH. Sinnoh.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah
not, it's Sinnoh. You have it right.
Okay.
Well, he's saying Sinnoh, isn't he? Isn't he saying Sinnoh?
Oh,
yeah, that's why I don't, Sinnoh.
No, just Sinnoh.
Sinnoh, okay. Like, I'm pronouncing snow incorrectly. So you'll be creating the first Pokedex of that region, and there's a new legendary.
Arceus.
That's it?
Yeah.
I'm very bad
which
with these.
I believe Arceus is the legendary of time. Which is weird because that makes me wonder where the legendary for space is because they're supposed to go together. No, that's Palkia. And never mind. I'm wrong.
But yeah, so what do you guys think about this? How do you feel about the new Pokemon game that's coming up?
Like you said, I'm very excited because it's a lot like the new Breath of the Wild Link. It's opening up a different way of playing a Pokemon game or a different storyline in Pokemon, expanding on the universe. And it's cool because it's older. It's like I'm excited.
Yeah, I'll be excited to play it. I still need to play Sword and Shield. These are becoming like Assassin's Creed. I might have to just start playing them out of order.
as the Uncanny Ryab's head explodes.
Yeah.
Because you said out of order.
Right?
Oh, man. I should have opened up my notes that I took about BlizzCon. Because that's what we're talking about next.
Oh man, BlizzCon.
BlizzCon. Okay, I have found my notes. So, BlizzCon Line is, as they were calling it, was the online Blizzard convention that they had, that they have every year. So the very first thing they talked about was Blizzard's 30th, it's being Blizzard's 30th anniversary. And so they released the Blizzard Arcade Collection, which included The Lost Vikings, Rock and Roll Racing, and Blackthorn. You can play the original editions with new features such as rewind, save. You can put filters on it to make it look like it's coming on an old CRT TV. They are introducing definitive editions in 13 different languages. They are also including level maps, I believe, for Lost Viking or for Blackthorn. Original content combined for Lost Vikings and the 16:9 ratio for Rock and Roll Racing. It's releasing on PC. It's released actually on PC, Switch, PlayStation, and Xbox. But if you've purchased the 30th anniversary bundle from Blizzard, you immediately have access to it. So my thoughts on that is it seems pretty rad for someone like me who's a diehard old school gamer. It looks like a good mix of, you know, shooter games, platformers, racing games. It could be really fun to get younger fans into some of those old franchises as well. I'm not sure if any of you guys have played or watched the trailer for those, or if you have any thoughts.
I have not. This Lost Vikings looks good, though.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch that trailer.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun jumping around, stuff like that.
I'm sure it'll be, man. Like, I love that we're getting back into some 8-bit stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like, for sure. So the next announcement that they brought up was the World of Warcraft section. So they have two World of Warcrafts right now. They have the classic or vanilla that they released a couple years back, and then they have the one that has been continuing on that I believe they're calling Shadowlands now. So in World of Warcraft, it's the 16th year of World of Warcraft, which I thought it would be more.
Yeah, I definitely think that was.
But I remember
WoW being old when I was working at GameStop.
And I'm thinking like I don't know if I'm also grouping regular Warcraft in there as well.
No.
Like in my brain.
Yeah, maybe.
Because Warcraft has been a thing for a long time, but
Warcraft is like really close to StarCraft.
Yeah.
And those definitely feel way older to me than World of Warcraft.
But yeah, so they're doing a big event called the Burning Crusade. And for each character that you have, there's going to be a choice that lets you decide if you're going to stay in the classic World of Warcraft forever, or you move that character over onto Burning Crusade, which is the newer stuff. And it's not account wide, so you can choose differently between each character on your account. And so for me personally, this is something I'm actually interested in. And I haven't not really been a big World of Warcraft player, so going and playing the classic version and going to the new expansion has some appeal to me. Maybe I'll get sucked in. Who knows? I think it would be fun for all of us to create a classic World of Warcraft character.
Yes, that would be
and
fun.
And at least for one stream, run around and do things. I think could be comical. Asking Mike to explain the lore of orcs to us.
So we did find out he's played it.
I believe he has. Okay. I believe he has, but I mean, we can ask him again.
Dungeon Master Mike, I guess it makes sense.
What about you, Captain Platinum? You played a lot of World of Warcraft, if any?
Zero. I never got into World of Warcraft. I dodged that.
See, but now we're going to rope you in because we'll do it, and maybe we'll do it during Extra Life, so it'll be for charity, so you guys can't cop out on it.
I like it.
I see how you play.
Yeah. So the next thing they did was World of Warcraft Shadowlands. It's the first content update that they've done called Chains of Domination. The trailer looked really cool. Again, I have no idea who any of these people are, so I was like, man, if I knew who these people are, I'd be very invested, but I don't. So it looks really interesting. I really enjoyed the trailer, but again, I have no context of what's going on. But there was a cool thing that they're doing. It's the World of Warcraft Charity Pet Program. So they have this thing that's open for donations, and their chosen donation is their chosen charity is Doctors Without Borders. And once the goal is met, every World of Warcraft player will get a pet as a thank you. And if they reach their stretch goal, everyone gets a second pet as well.
What?
So the two pets that they're giving away are one is Banana, or Bananas. He's a little chimpanzee. And then for the stretch goal, they're getting Daisy the sloth that can like ride around your neck and run around with you.
I want to play for that.
So for Panda Pat, she is in.
I'm so in. That's the only thing I do in Final Fantasy 14 is get the minions. My favorite one is the Tonberry. He chases me around with his little knife.
There was some announcements for Hearthstone, where it looks like they're kind of doing, which is the card game that they run. It's a lot like what they did with World of Warcraft, where they went back and did a classic version. So they're updating everything in Hearthstone. They're getting rid of like the old classic packs, and they're coming out with a new like consolidated pack for all the original sets. But they also are going to have a version that's just the original Hearthstone, the original card set without anything else. But this is the one that I know Pat was excited about.
Yes.
We had some Diablo 2 Resurrection.
Yes. So Diablo 2, I've played tons of that game. So I'm super excited for them to reboot it. there's a lot happening in the world of Diablo between Diablo 4, Diablo 2 Resurrected, and Diablo Immortal. Despite previous canon, Diablo 4 rogues and druids will no longer be gender locked. Yay.
Well, that was pretty cool.
Diablo 4 features a variety of accessibility options, including turning off monster highlighting. A big limitation to making a darker world is striking the right balance between beautiful and terrible in order to avoid desensitization.
Got it. Nailed it. She had been working on that word all up until we started recording.
I overthink it and I messed it up.
It was a big moment.
Diablo 4 will have transmog, TP scrolls, and books, technically feature angels, and couch co-op play, but won't feature fishing and probably won't have quests for every class.
You mean we can't fish?
I never fished in Diablo. I didn't know, like,
what the hell?
That was something everyone was going to be mad about.
What the hell?
Unlike Warcraft 3, Reforged, Diablo 2 Resurrected, and classic versions will remain separate games, so modders and fans of the original game will not be impeded. Cross-progression will be supported, but no cross-play. Ugh.
I mean, that is a baby step. Cross-progression's okay, but cross-play would be the best.
Yeah. You currently cannot load an original D2 original character into Resurrected. Damn it! That one that I've been holding on to for years. No, that's a lie. I forgot about it. You only get like 3 weeks before they delete it. Resurrected will patch 1.14 balance in order to maintain authenticity. Despite some balancing issues, there won't be any new Rune Worlds. Modern Battle.net will have more tools to combat bots and cheats than the original Diablo 2. Trading won't be exactly the same, as it will include more quality of life improvements, but it will be similar. Diablo Immortal will have seasons, but will not reset character progress. There isn't any immortal lore in Diablo 4, since it takes place during the 20-year period between D2 and D3, while D4 takes place even further ahead in the timeline. No release date yet, but more testing phases are coming. I'm really getting annoyed because I keep seeing all this stuff about Diablo 2, and I just really want to know when I'm going to get it.
Eventually.
I don't like that answer. Every time I see a new thing, I'm like, is there a release date yet?
See, I know you've tried to get me to play Diablo 2 a couple times,
so but
I was
many
like,
times.
I was like way late to the party, so when I tried to jump on, it was so outdated. I was like, I can't.
It was outdated. It's been outdated for 20 years. No, it's like that was the one game. You're always like, let's play games together. Let's play games together. I'm like, I have this one and I have an extra copy. Let's play together. Yeah, he wouldn't play with me.
We tried.
Oh.
We tried, but it didn't work.
Whatever. We play your games.
I'll play the new Diablo 2 with you.
Yay!
Jesus. as long as Captain Platinum plays too.
Yay.
Oh man.
It's going to be nice. It looks like the co-op and it looks great. Like, I'm excited to be able to play it with a bunch of people.
Again, another franchise I have never touched.
Really? So,
yeah. I wasn't
what
much.
What do you play?
Nintendo and PlayStation.
Yeah, I was a console kid, man. Right. We had to share
that
the PC.
That was the same for me.
Honestly, I didn't really get into Diablo 2 till about 2007, which was way after it was released.
Yeah, I've been basically Nintendo and PlayStation. When I was growing up, we always had to share the PC, you know, for schoolwork and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't much time for gaming on it. I agree. Remember though, when my first boss in the real world, though, he was all about like talking about like working and work ethics and all this, and then he opens up his laptop and then pops out the CD drive and Diablo is sitting in there, and he goes, "Oh, that must be there from last night."
Yes, it's always in my laptop.
Oh man, I remember there was a kid in like, I think it was like eighth grade. His name was CJ, and he's like, "Come over to my house. We'll play video games." I said, "Oh, awesome!" I brought my Sega controller, my Super Nintendo controller, and he busts out his PC. He's like, "Diablo," and I'm like, "So you want me to come over and watch you play video games?"
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm going to take Mortal Kombat and go the hell home. But Captain Platinum, we had PlayStation State of Play that was back on the 25th.
Yeah, we did. That was Thursday, I believe.
Give us all of the news, the tasty news, the delish news.
Sure thing, man. Most of it,
another delish?
Delish.
As I was telling Luke when I first saw this, I was like, it felt like E3 2020, like 2.0. Because basically, I feel like we just got updates on everything that they announced then.
Right.
So, one of the games they talked about is Crash Bandicoot 4. It's About Time is coming to the PS5. It did launch last year on PS4. So, the PS5 is allowing the game to take advantage of using the native 4K targeting, 60 frames per second. Of course, you have to have the 4K compatible device. And they're using the enhanced 3D audio, which, you know, you have to have the compatible headset more than likely. Mm-hmm. So, now you'll be able to see Crash, you know, wall run, spin, jump, and rail grind using outstanding crisp controls on levels lovingly built by the art and animation team, now even more vibrant and colorful on our new console. And waste no time in saving the multiverse, because now we have shorter load times, and so it's faster and easier than ever to jump right into action. So,
does Crash Bandicoot wall run like Prince of Persia?
Ooh, I don't think so.
Damn.
Maybe. I don't think he had that ability in the ones I've played. So maybe that's one of the new things again. But they're going to use the adaptive triggers. The DualSense, you know, has the adaptive controllers on it for the right trigger and right and left triggers. So that way you'll feel the force of Neo Cortex's DNA-changing blaster, the grip of Tana's hookshot, the power of Crash's jetboard, and really feel the suction when you vacuum with Ding-a-Dial. Experience dynamic and immersive play, whether you're dodging pirates and TNT in the salty wharf or crunching this on the snow in the 11th dimension. So this will take advantage of the activity cards on the PS5, which I don't think many games I've played so far have used those. I know they're there. I don't really know if they're using those for Valhalla. That'd be the only other game, and I didn't use them for the Astrobot type game that came out, the launch game. So those will be there to help you out there, and then you're going to be able to upgrade and cross over from PS4. So if you already got the PS4, you just have to have the disc version and a PS5 with the disc slot on it, so you can do that. So that'll be fun. Did either of you guys play the new Crash game?
I have not yet.
I haven't played any Crash games.
I played like the original Crash Bandicoot game, I think 1 and 2, but... Mm-hmm. Nothing after that. But I felt like this would be a good game to grab when I can get my hands on a PS5, because I feel like that would be a good, because in my brain, PlayStation, Crash Bandicoot kind of go hand in hand, like Sega and Sonic and Mario and Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to jumping into the fourth one, but I wanted to wait until I could get it on the next gen. But I guess it looks like I could just get it for PS4 and then it'll upgrade, but I don't want to have beaten the game already and then I'm like, why would I upgrade it to PS5? I already beat it type thing.
Right. And then I don't know if it gives you the two different trophy sets too, if that would drive you nuts. I know you're not a trophy person, but
no.
Just seeing the list on their toys for PS4 and PS5.
And
that's how they do it.
I believe, isn't it Crash Bandicoot that you can get like 109% completion or something like that, or like 110% completion?
106, I think, was the
six.
One.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, this one I think was 106%. So then they showed some all new Returnal gameplay. So Returnal was shown back at E3 last year. That's by House Marquee, and they're in the midst of finalizing their latest and greatest project to date, which is Returnal. So they're excited to have the privilege of Returnal featuring in us. They're getting ready to dive deeper into the game, and so this is where I'm showing the details. So the gameplay is going to be a relentless and fast-paced shooter in the beginning. We've taken a lot of inspiration from the different genres, roguelikes and other likes, and created something really special that offers a unique challenge with a strong focus on the tight gameplay they're known for. So they have the tangible atmosphere where you'll piece together the story's mysteries. They've recently shared a bit more about the world of Returnal in their Atropos video. So narrative is a big part of the world. So and is wow, narrative is a big part of the Returnal experience, though they're telling the story in a subtle way. So you'll encounter voice logs and glimpses of different realities on your journey without distracting you from bullet hell action of the main game. This heads up to layered and personal story that they can't wait for us to get stuck into. So I think, is this the one that's, gosh, because this is the one that looks like Alien, right? Is this the one that I'm thinking of?
Correct. There's the, yeah, it's the lady who's responding to a distress call on a alien planet. It looks, I don't know, it doesn't look like a game that didn't jump out to me, like, oh, you got to try this. It wasn't like, okay, that one would be okay when I get around to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what the feeling I got on it. I'm kind of waiting for some more gameplay and some reviews to come out before I jump in and say, you know, that's my game.
This was the one where they said it starts up different every time you die, right? It's changing the world around every time.
I believe so. Cause I keep getting that confused with, the one that they keep pounding us over the head with, Deathloop, over and over again. But yeah, I'll do the next one because this one looks fun for me.
Okay.
So I got this from the development team off the PlayStation blog. So Sifu is an intense kung fu experience and it's coming out this year. This is what they had to say. The slow clap team has been working hard for the past 2 years, and we're very proud to announce Sifu, our new game coming to PS4 and PS5 this year. After releasing Absolver, which is a fun game if you haven't played it, we chose to build on our experience creating exciting and innovative martial arts gameplay and used everything we learned from our first game to create a third-person action game featuring intense kung fu combat with unprecedented authenticity. Inspired by our passion for kung fu and martial arts movies in general, much like me, we decided to focus on single-player experience to build an immersive adventure featuring deep and challenging gameplay. So Sifu puts you in control of a young kung fu student who has dedicated his very soul to his quest for vengeance. After his family was murdered by a squad of mysterious assassins, they're ninjas, our hero has spent the next 8 years of his life preparing for his revenge. This is like every great kung fu movie. This is exactly what it's like. The day of reckoning has finally come, and he will hunt down the murderers one by one without letting anyone get in his way. To overcome the odds stacked against him, he will rely on his kung fu skills and other magical and on a magical pendant that revives him upon death. This magic has a cost, though. Our hero gets older every time he comes back to life. So how long will you manage to survive before having to start his quest again? Is one life enough to have kung fu? The hunt for the assassins will take you through hidden corners of the city, from a gang-ridden suburbs to the cold hallways of corporate towers. You've got one day and countless enemies on your way. Time will be the price to pay. Careful positioning and clever use of environment to your advantage are key to your survival. Use everything at your disposal, throwable objects, makeshift weapons, windows, ledges. The odds are stacked against you and you will be offered no mercy. Kung Fu is a path for the body and the mind. Learn from your errors, unlock unique skills, and find the strength within yourself to master the devastating techniques of Pak Mei Kung Fu. I will be an old man by the end of the second level, and I really am ready for that.
Yeah.
I want a beard down to my knee.
I love that.
I just want to be geriatric Kung Fu man flipping off the walls and stuff, because if Kung Fu movies have taught me anything, when you're old and you have a long white beard, you're unkillable.
Yeah. Clearly.
When you turn into Pai Mei from Kill Bill, you're good as long as a lady doesn't come and snatch your eye out. I don't know what you guys thought about this, but this was one of the most exciting things for me because I got such a Shenmue vibe from it, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm in. Like, especially the hallway fights with like the old style Japanese doors. I was like, oh, I'm in.
Yes.
I'm ready for this. Oh, yeah.
This is the one where I was like, did they take a page out of Daredevil on Netflix?
Yeah. And again, yet another thing that's right up my alley.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I want another Tenchu game that's not shit.
All right. The next game they showed was Knockout City. It's a dodge brawling Denizen of Knockout City. You'll make a name for yourself through your skill and style. You've learned to flex your abilities, you've shown up looking your best, and now it's time to chuck dodgeballs at your rival's face. It's a multiplayer experience unlike anything you've ever played before. So now they're going to... basically, it's just a brawl that comes down to throwing and catching, but you'll need to master positioning, timing, and teamwork if you want to take home a win. So you want to try to catch a ball with perfect timing, because that will power it up, and then making it faster when you throw it back at your opponents. You'll have the ability to do trick shots that let you lob a ball over objects or curve them around corners. And then there's also a dreaded fake throw that can screw with your rival's catch timing, giving you a window to knock them out for real. So, again, it looks decent. Looks like a fun little, almost like Fortnite type game, if I remember right. Mm.
Yeah, it looks like a battle royale with dodgeball.
Yeah.
that's what I got from it. It did look pretty cool, though, with the pump fakes. In the video, they were doing the little dodgeball pump fakes to throw each other off.
Yeah.
I loved that. I thought that was great.
Yeah. And then they showed Solar Ash, which is a third-person action platformer with massive scale and a focus on fluidity and movement. This one looked interesting to me. It looked pretty simple down with nice graphics. And what they showed, it looked pretty easy to play, but I'm sure the difficulty gets harder and harder as you play. So with this one, you'll play as Rey, a void runner looking to save her home world from the Ultra Void itself, a massive black hole that swallows entire worlds. Rey is well equipped for the task, with incredible speed, agility, and other tools to help on her mission. She covers vast distances, surfacing across the ashen clouds with ease. She seamlessly grapples across gaps and up huge vertical spaces. She gracefully grinds on rails littered throughout the world to reach great heights and secret enclaves. So there's also some combat to it. They're saying it's going to be fluid, simple, and satisfying. They'll want to empower the player, showcasing just how skilled she is at what she does. So as you progress, you'll encounter larger and more twisted creatures, hinting at more insidious nature of this maw of the cosmos. These encounters will only escalate in challenge and skill the deeper you explore, requiring greater timing and fine platforming skills to complete. And then eventually you will fight the largest creature in the Ultra Void, and there'll be massive remnants hewn from bone and viscous, tendrilled, sinewy sludge. These beasts hold the key to progressing your quest and saving her world. She is determined to overcome this literally huge challenge at any cost. So, yeah, I was trying to think. It kind of reminded me of what I saw there was like, it kind of reminded me, I want to say, Mirror's Edge, you know, the kind of the running and the timing with those kinds of things. I mean, obviously different, but that's what it kind of reminded me of it, like a quick glance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like anything about this one?
It looked, I think this is one that I watched it, but it didn't really sink into my brain.
It makes me think of Kingdom Hearts.
Hmm.
But not Disney, obviously.
Yeah, it was just one of the ones that it didn't really have like a big impact on me. Like the whole time you were talking about this, I'm sitting here trying to remember the trailer for it. Right?
Yeah, it was just staff.
Yeah, it was just like one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking? Yeah. You might be thinking of the Kena Bridge of Spirits.
Oh. That's what I think. Yeah, I was like,
you didn't remember it either.
I was going like, how this wasn't turn based or combat or anything that I can recall. But I was like, okay.
I definitely thought it was that.
Yeah,
one.
The next one really stuck with me was the new Five Nights at Freddy's security breach, which looks like it's just Five Nights at Freddy's, but in like a giant, like mega pizzaplex is what they're calling it. It's like this huge, huge environment. And I watched this one with my daughter, who, even though she has never even played Five Nights at Freddy's, like she sees the t-shirt, she sees the toys, she loves it, but she hates scary games. And I'm like, so I made her sit down and watch this with me. And she's like, Dad, I don't want to play that. I was like, but you love Five Nights at Freddy's.
I know how she feels.
So I don't want to play that one, Dad.
We had a weird thing happen. This side note, totally off track. One of the Magic player brought his kids to work or to play Magic at the store. Brain not working. Anyways, they saw our camera system and they got so excited. They played Five Nights at Freddy in the store with each other, which was, I don't know, it's a weird situation. But that's my experience with Five Nights at Freddy is the kids watching the cameras and trying to sneak around so they couldn't see each other.
Have you ever played a Five Nights at Freddy's game? Captain Platinum?
I have not. Nope. Hmm. I know nothing about it.
Well, lucky for you, you don't need to play it because there are about 500 million YouTube players.
Oh, yeah.
So you can just watch for 5 minutes and really get the gist of it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Maybe I'll have to do that after we do this. Well, do this recording. So Luke covered that game. So they had announced that last year, and then this one, they just gave a little bit more gameplay and showed a little bit more trailer to it.
Which is very similar to the next one we're talking about.
So, yeah, Oddworld Soulstorm, they announced this arrives on PS4 and PS5 April 6th. So they gave the release date, and then also, if you're an active PlayStation Plus person, subscriber, you get the game. I don't know if that's just on PS5, though.
I believe it's only on PS5.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty awesome. So I was like, hey, I'll take another free game. Mm-hmm. So in this game, you reprise the role of Abe, is it Mudokon?
I believe so. Mudokon, is that, I can't. It was text in the original one.
Okay.
Mudokon? I don't know.
I'm like, Mudokon? He's an accidental hero turned leader of a growing revolution. We first met him in the first game of the Quintology Oddworld, New and Tasty. Abe is a floor waxer at Moloch, the Gluckin's Rupture Farms meatpacking plant. He accidentally learns about Moloch's plan to turn Mudokons into tasty treats. He wants to save himself, but he's compelled him to try to save everyone. His selfless act is a spark that sets the revolution ablaze. So this is the second game in the Quintology, and you'll explore a massive cinematic scale and weird and wonderful 2.9D environments filled with breathtaking visuals. I remember this one. This one, they kept talking about 2.9D because it lets you venture into the world. It creates greater scale action. And so they like it because they say it adds depth and immersion. So
yeah, I'm in for this game. I loved I believe the first one I played was the Xbox version that they sent over there, that they ported over. Oh, no. They did an exclusive one for Xbox after they had done PlayStation. Mm. And I enjoyed that one.
I've never played an Oddworld game, but I think the monsters look really cool. So I probably will try one, this one.
Yeah, I'll probably play it eventually. I know I tried one of these, and I want to say I played it on the Vita, but I think it was the PS3 port over. But I don't fully remember which one it was. But I know they gave one out on, I think it was the Vita that I did try it out on. Or maybe I played it on my PS4 through the PS3 or PS Now. But I didn't get too far in it. One of the re-releases. Yeah. And then they gave some trailers on Deathloop, Deja Vu, and then the kind of Bridge of Spirits. So they just gave a little.
Do you remember that one that's a lot like
Kingdom Hearts, but not Disney?
It does look like a Pixar movie.
Yeah.
All right,
and it looks cool. And those little monster guys are adorable.
What I meant by like Kingdom Hearts is the fighting style. She has this big staff that she runs around and whacks people with, a lot like the key that the kid runs around and whacks people with.
All right. I'm so gonna like seeing trailers for that. We get it. We know what it is.
Yeah, I just,
and I'm like, oh my goodness, I got it, and I know it's Bethesda, and I'm such a Bethesda whore. But I'm just like, okay. Every time it's like, and more info on Deathloop. I'm like, what now? Like, I get so frustrated.
It's like the only game they've talked about in the last year, it feels like.
Yes, everyone. Xbox talks about it. PlayStation talks about it. Bethesda talks about it. It's just like, guys, we know. We know the game is coming out. They wanted to say this time, they're like, look at the cool music that we have in it. And I was like, awesome. Give me the game. You don't need to hype it anymore, guys. The hype is where it's going to be. You're not going to make it any more hype. That's just me. That's just me.
Right. All right. So they ended the show with one more game. And one of the games this month on PS Plus for the month of March is Final Fantasy VII Remake. So this comes right after, at the end of the State of Play, that they announce Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade is coming to PS5 June 10, 2021. And Luke has some beef here.
Go ahead and go through, and I'll jump in at the end. The frustration.
All right. So basically this is almost like the exact same story as Crash Bandicoot from the beginning of this, right? You're gonna get better texture, lighting, environments as due to the PS5 graphics.
But the fog, you get the fog.
You get the fog, man. Yeah, I know. I was looking. I'm like, what's up? I'm like, oh, we get fog.
Yeah. And was it just me? Sometimes when they did the side by side, I was like, "Well, the PS4 one actually, that one looks better."
Yeah,
than the PS5 one.
I was there with you on a couple of those. I felt so.
Not all of them, just a few though. Jumped out at me, and I was like, "The lighting, I don't like. It's too dark. It's too dark in the PS5 one. I can't see what the hell's happening."
Yeah. So they've added new features that have been added, including the ability to switch between graphics mode that prioritizes high quality 4K graphics and performance mode that prioritizes smooth action at 60 frames per second. We're also getting a photo mode where the player can take photos of in-game scenes and save their favorite memories, as well as a new episode that features Yuffie as the main protagonist. Those who own the physical or digital PS4 version of Final Fantasy VII Remake and want to experience the PS5 enhancements can upgrade to the PS5 version at no extra cost and carry over their save data from the PS4 version. PS4 players who upgrade will still need to purchase the new episode featuring Yuffie separately. And please note, PS4 version of Final Fantasy VII Remake available to PlayStation is not eligible for the PS5 digital grade. Yep. So they did mention that the one that they're giving out for free, you cannot upgrade. And then there's a pre-order bonus for the digital version of the game featuring Yuffie's weapon, the Cacstar, which can be used in her new episode. A digital deluxe edition of the game will also be available, which will include a digital art book and a digital mini soundtrack. And if you want some more information on that, you can go to the PlayStation Store or, you know, GameStop, EB, or whatever. I was going to say EB Games. Are we in EB Canada? Games,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Oh, well, because I keep seeing, I collect Black Series and EB Games keeps coming up.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize of Canada. It still existed.
In Canada, like Toys R Us. Yeah.
Is Toys R Us in Canada still too?
Yes.
Weird. Huh.
All right. So I do want to point out, because I know Yuffie is a optional character to get in the original Final Fantasy VII, correct?
Mm-hmm. But not way later.
So this is just like, it's a brand new story. She apparently, I guess, it doesn't affect any of the major story or what's going on. It's just it's a fun little side quest. So here is my issue. So Final Fantasy VII has already. And a lot of people have dealt with it. I felt like I dealt with it until this came out. The episodic release that they're going to make us pay $60 to get a game that they already made. I realize they're remaking it, and there's a lot more that goes into it, but they already have the game out. So if you want to play the whole game, you can play the original PlayStation version. So to add on top of that, they're not giving you the full game, and then they're going to give you these little DLC things, which I think is great, right? If you're going to make people wait for however many years to get the rest of the story, I think it's a great idea to drop these little DLC expansions, right? These little side stories that you can spend. They haven't said how long it is, but even if it's, you know, 10, 20 hours.
And as hoping, right? I hope it's 10 to 20 hours, depending on what they charge. You know?
Right. If it is, that would be great. That's a great idea. My problem is making it a PS5 exclusive when they cannot keep up with the demands to make PS5s. They're not available. you can't buy them, and there is no end in sight for the PS5 or Xbox Series X, like the shortages. There's no end in sight for that. So why are you releasing something that can help these games due to the, you know, like I said, the gap between actually finishing the story of the game that you want to play? Why are you limiting it to only a certain amount of people that are able to get their hands on the PS5? The majority of people that want a PS5 can't get them. And I'm in that. So I feel personally attacked by this. It's that's the frustrating part for me. If you're going to not release a completed game or an episodic game, and you have these fillers that are nice, release it for everyone that has, make it available for everyone that has the game currently. For the next Final Fantasy VII remake part 2, that's years down the road. So the interlude between part 2 and part 3, that is fine to do on your next generation consoles. But when you cannot release enough consoles for people to buy, you shouldn't be doing it this way. That is my biggest frustration with it. It looks great. It looks amazing. I really want to play it. I can't, because I can't buy a PS5, because every time I try and go, they're sold out within the first 30 seconds because of the scalpers and all this stuff that's really hampering everything.
Well, the game is the same as the PS4 one, right? You're just getting the Yuffie. And are they offering the Yuffie thing for PS4? I don't know.
No, they're not. It is PS5 only. PS5. That's my frustration. If they were releasing it for PS4 and PS5, there would be, I would be 100% behind this. I would be so on board with this. I would be pumped waiting for this to come out. But I don't know if I'm going to have a PS5 when this comes out, because I don't know if they're going to be available.
I think it releases in June.
Yeah, June 10.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is my giant, giant issue with this. Make it available, because it's not like the PS5 hasn't even been out a year, right? Same with the Xbox. Like, I honestly, I think the shortage is doing okay for Xbox, because they don't have they have one exclusive for their console currently. They have one.
And I'm not happy about that one.
Because, yeah, I know. That's the one that you wanted to get. But one I can deal with. Like, if Spider-Man was the only exclusive right now for PS5, I'd be fine. Because it's hard to release exclusives when you can't release the console that they're exclusive to. And so I think Xbox fumbling their exclusives at launch is actually helping them a little bit right now, because people are still paying for Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually when the demand is met for these consoles, that's when you unload all of your exclusives and get people to jump in. Because right now it's like, cool, exclusive for something that I can't play. Awesome. Tuned out, and I will forget about your game.
Right, but right now it's a DLC. Just DLC is the only real change, though. The main game is the same. You're just getting a Yuffie side story. We don't
even know. And I'm not the remake, like the higher quality stuff. That's not what I have the issue. It's the DLC that I have the issue with.
Yeah. And it may just be the Cyberpunk thing. They couldn't get it to run. I mean, I would be hard pressed to figure out why they couldn't get it to run on PS4, since the game is already on PS4.
Right.
But I don't know the code differences between PS4 and PS5 at the, you know, down in the, you know, nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Of what they would have to change there. And then, I mean, the PlayStation exclusivity on this remake has to end here in April, right? It was a year they got it exclusive, and it came out at Easter last year.
So then the regular remake is coming out for Xbox, I believe. I don't think it's PC yet. I know it's Xbox for sure in April.
Yeah.
For the remake. I'm not sure how that works, if there's going to be if that exclusivity goes with the PS5 version, if then Xbox Series X has to wait a year until they get it. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure how that one works, but I know for the Xbox One / PS4 era of the game, yeah, it's April is when it runs out. So it'll be on Xbox One April, but
and again, though, it's weird, like, the way they're doing this. We have no idea what the second part of this will look like when it's coming out. You know, when I saw it, I was like, holy crap, I mean, because I know they said they were already starting to work on it. And you got to figure they've already got the world somewhat built and defined, you would hope. But then, really, what's the rest of the world look like? Because they only did the city.
Right.
And so, can they mirror some of that? Possibly. But again, yeah, I mean, and then who knows? They never said how long the DLC is going to be or how much it's going to cost. So, I mean, if it's like the demo for the first game, you know, the first part of it, and it's like an hour long and they charge me $20 for it, I don't know if I'd pick it up, you know?
Right.
Like,
right.
Or I wait till a sale. So,
right.
And I haven't even finished the remake. It was one of those games. It was gorgeous. And then I got busy with work and other games came out and
right.
I need to go back and finish it. And I know Mike still wants to have his side quest on it. Cause he's got some beef with it.
I know he's got way more beef than I do.
Yeah,
that's true. But yeah,
So that was the end of the state of play. I was really hoping for a little bit more. They didn't even touch on Ratchet and Clank coming out. I think Ratchet and Clank is June 10 as well, isn't it? It's June. It's right around that same time frame. So, I mean, we're getting the new Ratchet and Clank. They didn't show anything new there. Nothing more on God of War or Horizon Zero Dawn, the sequel to that. You know, there was just really nothing much that was new. I was hoping for a little bit more.
Right. Yeah, Ratchet and Clank is June 11th, 2021. Okay,
the day after. I knew it was pretty darn close. Yeah. And that's what I hate, too, is now it's all these digital deluxe editions. And if you go to the store and try to support GameStop or, you know, anywhere else, Target, Walmart, Best Buy, you're not getting the, you know, the reason to pre-order. I mean, so you're not getting a little, you know, trinket in the game or anything. So,
Okay, so we are going to end the episode. Since it's the first episode of March, I am going to go through real quick, like, and let you know the games that we have releases for in March. There's a few that they're undetermined of when in March, but they say March. So we'll start out. Yakuza Like a Dragon, March 2nd for PS5. Maquette for March 2nd for PS5 and PS4. Monster Jam Steel Titans 2 on March 2nd for PC, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, Stadia. R.I.P. Ranch Simulator, March 4th for PC. We've got Sir Lovelot, March 3rd for PC, PS5, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Kill It With Fire, March 4th, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Harvest Moon, One World, March 5th for Switch. 2 Point Hospital Jumbo Edition, March 5th for PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. The Elder Scrolls Online, Flames of Ambition for PC and Stadia on March 8th. Apex Legends is coming to Switch on March 9th. Monster Truck Championship in Europe. EU is coming out March 11th for PS5 and for Series X. Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time, March 12th for PS5, Series X, and Switch. Drive-By for PC and Switch on March 12th. The Elder Scrolls Flames of Ambition, March 16th for PS4 and Xbox One, so a little bit after about a week after the PC version. Kingdoms of Amalur, Re-Reckoning, March 16th for Switch. Monster Truck Championship in the U.S. for PS5 and Series X on March 16th. Mundown? I don't know how you say that. March 16th for PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. We have Samurai Showdown for Series X on March 16th. Stubbs the Zombie, Rebel Without a Pulse, March 16th for Switch. Marvel's Avengers for PS5 and Series X on March 18th. Minute of Islands for PC, PS4, Xbox One, Switch on March 18th. Plants vs. Zombies, The Battle for Neighborville comes March 19th for Switch. The Story of the Seasons, Pioneers of Olivetown in the U.S. comes out for Switch on March 23rd. Tunchi comes out March 23rd for Switch. Overcooked, All You Can Eat comes out March 23rd for PC, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Yakuza 6, The Song of Life comes March 25th to PC. Balan Wonderland, March 26th, come to Switch, PC, Xbox One, Series X, PS4, and PS5. That is the one that is created by the co-creator of Sonic the Hedgehog. I will be there. Monster Hunter Rise comes March 26th for Switch. It Takes Two, March 26th for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. Terminator Resistance Enhanced coming out March 26th for PS5. The Story of the Seasons, Pioneer of Olivetown in Europe is coming out March 26th on the Switch. Evil Genius 2 World Domination comes out March 30th for PC. Then we've got a whole bunch of Kingdom Hearts coming out on March 30th for PC. We got Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 and 2.5 Remix, Kingdom Hearts HD 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue, Kingdom Hearts 3 plus Remind DLC, Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory, and that's all the Kingdom Hearts. So if you're a Kingdom Hearts fan for PC, boy, get ready. The Binding of Isaac Repentance comes out the 31st of March for PC. Fallen Knight comes out for PC on March 31st. And these ones are to be determined March announcements. We have Disco Elysium, the final cut for PS4, PS5, Stadia, and PC. Kenya Bridge of Spirits for PS4, PS5, and PC. Cyber Knights Flashpoint for PC. Fearmonium for PC, and Tennis World Tour 2 for PS5 and Xbox Series X. Breath.
Nice work. Good work.
All right. That is all of them, and that is all we have for the show today. Do you guys have anything you want to say before we bounce out of this?
No.
Except you're going to be there day one for Ranch Simulator?
Well, the only reason I got excited because it was a simulator, and I was like, oh, do you get to... It's like everybody wants Sims Farming.
She wants to mod it, you know? She's already looking forward to Ranch, how to mod her Ranch
Simulator. It won't be any fun. Gross.
God damn it. We almost made it, guys. We almost made it. Explicit tag, here we go. All right.
I'm just waiting for Pat to send us her her mod pictures of
Ranch Simulator. They're not mine. They're not mine.
All right. So the outgoing message we have from Panda Pat is they're not mine. What do we get for you, Captain Platinum?
Yo, as we always say, man, you got to game harder.
All right, bye guys. See you later this week.